What's up, everybody? It's Michael Scotto, Hoops Hype's NBA writer and host of the Hoops Hype podcast. Hope you're doing well. And right now, with the draft less than a week away, trade rumors are swirling out there like a tornado. So what better time to have our next guest, Yossi Goslin, Hoops Hype's salary cap guru, join me to break down those trade talks, possible sign and trade deals we could see in free agency, and much more coming up next. Yossi, it's great to have you on the pod as always, brother. You know, as we record this pod, Russell Westbrook has reportedly asked for a trade, according to The Athletic. Westbrook going to be 32 years old now. Looking at the trade market for him, what do you foresee for a guy like Westbrook right now? Because we've heard talks about teams like the Knicks being interested in him. And from my vantage point, the Knicks going for a 32-year-old point guard in Russell Westbrook that's owed over $130 million over the next 3 years would be a very Knicks thing to do. But it's a new regime with Leon Rose. So I would like to think that they would maybe go in a different direction, but I'm not the one calling the shots. What do you think?
Yeah, so far it seems like the Knicks, out of all these teams that could possibly make sense for Westbrook, they seem to be one of the more constrained front offices in this situation. We'll see once free agency actually starts if they are going to be a little more restrained. But I don't see that one. I don't see the Knicks happening. Another team that people have been pointing is the Pistons. But, you know, maybe they'll draft the point guard. You know, every time we hear about a star player asking for a trade, we all get very excited. We start speculating, and then he usually goes where he wants. But this could be the first time a legitimate star asks for a trade and maybe ends up staying because of lack of interest. The only other team that I could think makes sense and is in that New York-Detroit group is Orlando. They could really use a guy like Westbrook to spice things up and get them relevant and, you know, make things exciting at the very least. Because if you're getting Westbrook, you're at least getting that. You're getting a show. And I can't think of a team that needs that show more than the Magic.
The biggest thing I think about with Russell Westbrook is obviously he was at his peak with the Oklahoma City Thunder when he was the main guy and he was the MVP. And that's individually for him when he's at his best with the ball in his hands. However, wouldn't say it's the most efficient way to build a championship contender, certainly, and have sustainable success long term. And for me, when you're looking at a guy like Westbrook, that's the thing I want to see. If as he gets older, he's willing to mature. And, you know, when we had looked previously when the Rockets were eliminated, spoke to several executives and coaches to see if they thought Harden and Westbrook was going to be a fit, and wrote this on Hoops Hype in September. If you go back on my author page, you can see it. One coach told me that he doesn't think that Westbrook is a guy that you can just plug in next to somebody. His game doesn't jive that way because he always needs the ball so much. And I agree with you in a sense that this is a rare instance where you're talking about a guy that's been an all-star player that has a bloated contract that isn't going to command the interest on the trade market as you would think necessarily on paper. And another thing, you know, I'm sure Houston, even though publicly they said that they wanted to pretty much bring it back and, you know, try something new with Steven Silas as the coach, but keep the core of players the same. The two stars that they have in Russell Westbrook and James Harden don't necessarily click together when you look at their games, even though they previously played together with the Oklahoma City Thunder. So anytime a player publicly, well, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that Westbrook publicly demanded it. It was reported that he wants out. That's going to hurt the leverage of the Rockets. And they didn't have a ton going forward. And it's similar to a guy, another point guard, another star point guard out there, Chris Paul, who has a ton of money on his contract as well, also was linked to the New York Knicks due to his ties with Leon Rose and CAA. And they're looking to change the culture there and start to try to build that team back up again. We've heard about Chris Paul with the Suns as well. I agree with you. I think that Westbrook's trade value and the desire for teams to get him is going to be more limited than people think. The Orlando scenario you posed, I thought it's interesting. You know, you could probably do something like, I think you had tweeted out Evan Fournier and Aaron Gordon or something to make like the salaries work.
Yeah, it was just something. It wasn't like too technical.
No, yeah, but just so fans can get an idea to salary match there. But I really think they're going to have a tough time moving Russell Westbrook right now. And I think it would be easier in a way for Chris Paul to get moved because it just seems like there's more palpable interest out there for him. I mentioned the Suns that have been reported. We talked about the Knicks. Some other teams that you had in mind that could make sense for him from a cap perspective?
Well, I wanted to say one other thing about Westbrook is that I've always had this theory with certain players that they need a trade to, in a way, wake them up and get them to understand there's maybe something about their game they need to change, or there's just something they need to really like look at themselves and change. And when I felt when he was in Oklahoma City, I felt like he deserved a big chunk of the responsibility for their first round exit. They had that disappointing exit versus Utah in the first Paul George year, and then another right after with versus Portland. And I'm pretty sure they were the favorites both those times. And you know, now you look at the Thunder with Chris Paul and an even weirder all around roster, and they arguably did better versus Houston this time. And so he goes to Houston, he gets traded, and I kind of felt like, okay, you know, maybe he did start to change a couple things about his game. He had that nice little run in February where he really started to hit a stride with the Rockets and seemed like he was really fitting there. And then, you know, the bubble happened and the disappointment versus the Lakers happened. And yeah, I know he had a coronavirus and maybe that really threw him off, and that it maybe had a reason why he had that quad issue. But regardless, his value it just feels so low right now. And that's why we just bring up these purgatory teams like New York, Detroit, and Orlando. Just feels like they could use a guy like him, and none of these other contenders really have a fit for him. I really can't think of one. You're asking me which teams might else. You were asking me about Westbrook. What other teams might make a fit?
Well, I was gonna say more on Chris Paul's side of things, just because I think Chris Paul's certainly an easier guy to move. I think he's a guy that makes his teammates around him better naturally, the way he plays. And we saw with Oklahoma City how he took a team that was projected for the lottery and got them into the playoffs and gave Houston a really good run for their money. You see the Suns out there. I think that would be interesting. One thing to note about Chris Paul with the Suns that I don't think enough people are talking about. Now, recently, there was a report out there on the Bill Simmons podcast about Devin Booker wanting out. John Gamblaro, I believe, of Phoenix Radio denied that. I had also heard that Devin Booker did not want out, and I had reported that on Hoopsite. But the fact that Chris Paul is a CAA client and Devin Booker is also a CAA client, I think that needs to be noted here. When you look at a team like the Suns having trade interest in CP3, and I have heard that they wouldn't mind an upgrade over Ricky Rubio. And also, if Chris Paul falls through, and you know, we'll touch on this even later too, when we look at some free agents, Fred VanVleet's a guy that Phoenix has interest in, depending on how things shake out on the trade market as well. So you'd have to see. There's a couple of scenarios here for Phoenix, but it's pretty clear to me that they're looking to upgrade at that point guard spot over Ricky Rubio. If the Suns and the Knicks, you know, we also talked about them for Chris Paul briefly. They've been mentioned. Again, getting a Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook would be such a Knicks thing to do. just as a sort of a patch job kind of thing when they've got a really young group. But
very on brand.
If neither of those scenarios happened, were there other teams that you could see as a possibility for Chris Paul?
Yeah, so with Chris Paul and the Suns, on the surface, does this make them a better team? Absolutely. Personally, not too big a fan of it, because as fun as this Suns team will be, and you know they can make a nice push for maybe the 4 or 5 seed at best, unfortunately, I still have a very hard time seeing Chris Paul win a championship. I really want him to win a championship. I'm rooting for him. And with that regard, I feel like it seems like Chris Paul has a lot of agency in where he wants to go. And if he does, it feels like he would go to a good team. And so if the Phoenix thing falls through, I could still see the Sixers getting involved if that is the direction they want to go. I could maybe even see the Lakers or Clippers putting something together for him. Those ones are a little more out there, but there are ways they can definitely make it happen. Because other than that, you know, he's got the Knicks, of course. I think he'd rather go to any of these Western, these other teams we were talking about. There's the Bucks, but it doesn't seem like they want to acquire him, because that would definitely put them over the tax. If they were going to get him, I feel like there would already be some agreement, but it doesn't seem like they want him either. So yeah, Lakers, Clippers, Sixers, basically those three teams, I could see that happening.
And we also got to remember, the Suns have cap space that they could spend and then go over the cap and make a trade. Can you know the ins and outs of the CBA better than I do. Can you kind of explain for the listeners how the Suns could spend the cap and then make a move for someone like Chris Paul if they choose to go that route?
So if they're going to trade for Chris Paul, the logical trade would be Oubre, Rubio, and then one more small minimum salary. They got a bunch of them. So just to match salaries, that works. But if they want, they are also set to have a little under 20 million cap space. And that's with the way the roster is, but they'd also have to cut a bunch of their non-guaranteed guys and renounce the bird rights to their top free agents like Saric and Baines, which, you know, it's not going to make or break this offseason for them. But if they do that, they can maximize their cap space at just under 20 mil. And with that money, they can get a really good player to complement this roster. I think they can make a really competitive offer for Jeremy Grant or Davis Bertans, Pope, Joe Harris, those type of players, maybe even Danilo Gallinari. That's money that can buy those guys. And so the idea is that the Suns would spend their cap space first, and then once they're over the cap, then they do the Chris Paul trade. So they could have a nice core of Booker, Aiden, Paul. You got Bridges and Cam Johnson on the wing. And then you got another one of these free agents that I mentioned. I'm not too sure who else they got on the bench. And then they still have the room mid-level. So that's a really competitive team. I think that could, like I said, I think that could make a push for the 4-6 seed. I think at its absolute peak, I feel like it could be on par with Denver, which is, it's something that's a really fun and a really accomplishing year if they put that team together.
I would agree with you on that front. I'm glad you brought up the Nuggets, because it kind of helps me transition into our next topic. Another guy that's a trade candidate that we've heard out there, Drew Holiday of the New Orleans Pelicans. The Nuggets, I had heard back towards the trade deadline, made a run to try to acquire him, with guys like Will Barton and Gary Harris being dangled out there. Obviously, that didn't come to fruition, but it'd be interesting to see if those talks resurface again and if Denver can maybe add something else to that to get it over the hump. Also, you know, you look at the Brooklyn Nets with Spencer Dinwiddie being out there in trade talks. When it comes to the Nets, I don't see them necessarily moving a guy like Dinwiddie unless they can really upgrade for someone like a Brad Beal or I guess in their minds, if they think Drew Holiday is more of an upgrade, especially as a defender, you can make that argument. But I don't think the Nets are just moving Spencer Dinwiddie. But Drew Holiday, as we touched on, a guy that certainly is going to have interest around the league. Any other teams that you could see that one other thing before I forget, the Hawks recently, according to Mark Stein of the New York Times, were a team that was considering moving the sixth pick to try to get him. Chris Kirshner of the Athletics said that the Hawks are not a possible destination for Holiday at this time. Chris is obviously plugged in when it comes to the Hawks. Mark Stein is plugged in around the league. Interesting dynamic there. I didn't think Drew Holiday to the Hawks would be ideal unless they were going to flip him for something else, maybe in a multi-team deal. But were there any other teams beside those that you thought would make sense for Drew looking to improve and possibly because of the salary cap restrictions that could make sense?
Yeah, personally, I do not like it for Atlanta, especially if they're going to offer that number six pick. I feel with the Holiday, I feel like the Pelicans should have moved them last year when a lot of teams had more cap space and there's a lot more movement. I feel like they could have gotten a real, real big haul for him. Now they'll still get something really good for him, but I don't see like a really good young player out there that is going to be offered unless it's one of those first round draft picks or maybe there's not going to be any real valuable future pick coming back to the Pelicans. The good thing about Holiday, though, is that he can fit on so many different teams. And so we brought up the Nuggets and Nets, which seem like one of the two teams that pursued him the most over the year. You've got the Pacers, who they've already got the two other Holiday brothers, and things are a little uncertain with Victor Oladipo. Maybe there's something they could have. Maybe there's some way they can bring him there. The Warriors are another team that has been speculated. Maybe they want to include the number two pick and Wiggins, and then bring in Holiday to start at the two. There's so many other teams that theoretically could make a fit for him. Also, the Clippers, they could try to put something together, they could put a bunch of salaries together to make something match. It wouldn't be the best offer by any means, but I could see them trying to get in the Holiday sweepstakes.
You touched on Indiana briefly, too. Indiana, you always hear Miles Turner's name out there in potential trade talks. Or rumors and whatnot swirling out there. It'd be interesting to see if they break up that front court with Sabonis and Turner. Some have questioned in the league whether maybe Indiana could move Turner to a team like Boston that's looking for a center. And Gordon Hayward would be a piece that would be dangled right now. Hayward is a guy that, even though he's currently the fourth option on Boston right now, still has interest from around the league, depending on what he does with his contract, if he picks it up for this year or not. Most would expect that unless he's going to do opt out and sign for a long-term deal that's multiple years at a decent number. But it'd be interesting to see with a guy like Hayward, some teams out there, like if an Indiana for Turner makes sense, or with Boston. But you hear different things out there. Some people wonder too if for Cleveland with Andre Drummond, and a lot of speculation and whatnot out there right now. But when I was hearing some of this stuff getting floated out there, I thought that any scenario where a guy like a Miles Turner could go to Boston, or an Andre Drummond could go to Boston, it jived with what I've heard, that Boston is looking to upgrade in the front court. I've heard they're trying to get in the top 10 to get either on Yeko Okongwu or James Wiseman, somebody that they feel would be an upgrade in that front court. I think that'd be interesting to see. I don't know if that's going to work for those teams with Hayward, but something to keep an eye on as we talk about some trade candidates and whatnot.
Yeah, so if Hayward opts in, then Boston does have a big trade chip on their hands. And the center position is obviously the biggest need to address. And naturally, Miles Turner, Andre Drummond, they make a lot of sense. I could maybe see the Celtics trying to go after a guy like Clint Capella, who is a little cheaper, but can do just as many things as those guys. I could see a team like Dallas, who they're looking to improve their roster right now, but they're also trying to maintain their cap flexibility for 2021. They could trade for Hayward. He'll be an expiring contract this year. And he's a guy that will absolutely help them now. They can offer like Tim Hardaway and one more salary, like a DeLon Wright or Dwight Powell to match salaries. But they can get a guy like Hayward who will absolutely fit right in and put them right in the top four in the West. And then he'll be a free agent, so they can still try to pursue Giannis or whoever else they might want to pursue in free agency. And if they don't get that guy, at least you got Hayward right there. You can just resign him. So the Hayward situation is very interesting because it feels like there's definitely places out there ready to take him in. And if, you know, he can opt out, but not really any other teams with cap space, at least any good ones out there that really make sense for him. But feels like if he were to opt in and ask for a trade, he can definitely go somewhere that makes sense for him and for a team that might be willing to pay him in the long run too.
Yeah, there's certainly going to be a lot of trade talks out there. And it's not just with guys that are under contract. You're talking about potential signing trade candidates. There are a decent amount of them as we look at this year's crop in the free agent market. A couple of forwards that make sense to me, at least. Danilo Gallinari and Davis Bertans. You know, when it comes to Gallo, you know, there are some teams out there that I thought, you know, maybe like a Dallas, for example, that had some interest in him around the deadline as they were trying to improve and find a third guy for Luka and KP. And I think maybe even another team that I would just find interesting for him would be Portland. What do you think of those scenarios, and if there are any other possible teams that could make sense for Gallo on a sign and trade route as he goes into free agency?
So with Gallo, there was that quote where it kind of led people to believe that, you know, he's ready to take a pay cut to join a contender. He wants to win a championship. And so you got the teams out there without cap space, without much flexibility to do a sign and trade, hoping they can get him for the mid-level. But, you know, realistically, Gallinari could still join a very good team and get his money, and that's through a sign and trade. Portland, I think, has a real hole at the three that Gallinari could fit right in. I feel like with Portland, he could get the most of his opportunity. He could get the most minutes to the, you know, obviously a starting opportunity there, and he would be a big part of the Blazers' offense. They've got enough space below the hard cap to get him in a sign and trade. I could see Dallas also, if they don't get anyone else, you know, if they don't make a big trade for a guy like a Hayward or Oladipo, I could see them trying to get Gallinari in a sign and trade. They could squeeze him right in. Phoenix, we talked about, you know, even if they go over the cap, they might even be able to do another sign and trade for him later. You know, there's lots of teams that can make it work for Gallinari. Those are the ones that jumped right off the top for me.
And also, you got Davis Bertans going into free agency. Obviously, the Wizards want to retain him. They think they're a playoff team with a healthy John Wall, Brad Beal back, Davis Bertans as well. Certainly, I would say that he's going to draw interest from a team like the Atlanta Hawks in free agency, who are looking to add shooting, some veterans around their young core in an attempt to compete and try to make the playoffs next year. Lloyd Pierce touched on it on a previous episode of the Hoopside podcast, that they look at teams that have a lot of depth and veterans. And, you know, I believe he mentioned specifically, let's see, let me pull it up real quick. It was, what did Lloyd say? Lloyd said, quote, "You're looking at the Raptors, Bucks, Clippers, and Nuggets, who have tremendous depth. We want to be in that same category. We want to make a huge jump next year." So that's a guy that I certainly see them looking at to try to improve next year. Joe Harris, another guy we'll touch on, is also going to be a target for the Hawks. But in terms of Bertans, do you see teams that make sense for him with a sign and trade route?
Interesting thing about Bertans is that really any team could use Bertans. And so if you look at the teams that have cap space this summer, like New York, Detroit, Atlanta, Charlotte, they're not great teams, but they have a spot for Bertans. So when you consider a sign and trade, I think any team that that doesn't have too much money and wants to get him in a sign and trade, they should absolutely go for it. One team I really like would be Utah. They have a huge need at the four. And yeah, they have Bogdanovich and Ingles and Royce O'Neal doing that. They're filling in okay, but Bertans, I was really hoping they'd get Mirotić before he decided not to come back to the NBA. So obviously Bertans would be an excellent fit in Utah. I could see OKC, they're over the cap, but I could see them making an offer for Bertans. They still got all those picks they got last summer for Paul George and Westbrook. They got to consolidate some of that, turn that into players. And, you know, if Bertans didn't want to return to Washington, OKC can make a really strong offer for him. New Orleans, they can use another shooter like him. Minnesota, they just could use him. They need a stretch four. They still kind of have a hole at power forward. I think those teams realistically could make a pretty nice offer for Bertans.
The only thing with Bertans, I would say, in a sign-and-trade scenario is I find it a little hard-pressed that Washington would be okay to do that, because they do want to keep him. So it'd be interesting to see if they'd be willing to play with him, play ball with him in that sense, if he is able to command such a contract that they're not willing to try to offer themselves.
It feels like when you hear about these sign-and-trade reports that kind of implies that maybe doesn't want to return, which that doesn't really make that much sense to me. I don't see why he wouldn't want to.
Oh, I know that his wife likes it there, and he's enjoyed his time there. Anytime I've spoken with him directly about it, so
yeah. Ultimately, I would think he does stay in Washington.
Yeah. But in terms of other guys that maybe could be sign and trade targets, we've touched a lot on the Hawks. One of the reasons Jeff Teague stood there and did not seek a buyout was for the potential to work with general manager Travis Schlenk on a potential sign and trade deal. You know, you look at teams like the Lakers and the Clippers that could use point guard depth potentially. Seems like that could be a potential fit there in some regard. He said in an interview on Hoopsite, he wants to win. He wants to be on a playoff team. Those two would certainly fit the bill, in my opinion.
Yeah, when the Hawks traded for Jeff Teague again, it looked good. It seemed nice. It was a nice story. They were bringing him back, and they desperately needed a backup point guard. But Jeff Teague's at the point where I think he wants to compete, and I don't think he really wants to come off the bench to Atlanta and, you know, try to maybe make the eighth seed.
Oh, there's no way I see Jeff Teague coming back to the Hawks. Yeah. Let me just put that out there.
Yeah, I agree. And the Hawks they can easily find another younger backup point guard that makes a lot more sense. You mentioned the Lakers and the Clippers. I really feel like one of those teams will end up getting him. Probably It might not be through a sign and trade because they've got a lot of money, maybe through the mid-level, but Jeff T, like the both teams, you know, LeBron, the Lakers were using LeBron as their point guard, and I feel like that's it's kind of unsustainable at his age going forward. I think they want to get more natural point guards to let him play off ball. And the Clippers, they didn't really have a point guard last year. They, you know, there was kind of a mix of Kawhi and sort of Beverly and you know, then Lou Williams, but they didn't really have like a real facilitator type of point guard. And I think that was a big cause of their problems in the playoffs. So they could also really use a guy like Jeff Teague. Both those teams need an upgrade at point guard. And Jeff T could potentially start on both those teams.
Were there any other big men that you thought could be sign and trade candidates this offseason?
Ooh, I think Montrezl Harrell is a huge, huge sign and trade candidate. You know, after what happened, after the way the things went down with the Clippers, there was a lot of, there was a lot of like controversy with the way Doc Rivers kept playing him, a lot of discussion over whether the Clippers even should have stuck with him in game seven. And now Rivers is gone. And, you know, Harrell, he didn't perform all that well, but he's now the Clippers really got to decide how much money do you want to commit to this guy? Do you want to give him potentially 10 to 15 mil annually? And it's not that the Clippers can't afford it, but you also got to think about the future. Is this a contract that you can move? Can you trade him into something else later? Because the Clippers they're gonna have one of the most expensive rosters, and the more expensive you get, the harder it is to make improvements later. And you got to make sure that whoever you're paying, that you could move them later if you need to. So I think the Clippers, you know, JaMychal Green played very well. I can see them maybe moving on to him as their primary backup center. They still have the mid-level. If they don't get a point guard, maybe they trade for a point guard instead. And then they got the mid-level. They can offer that to a backup center. And I think the Clippers will just be open. I really don't know what's out there for Harrell right now, but you know, you got the cap space teams again, like the Knicks, Pistons, all of them. But I do think there are some teams over the cap out there whose best chance at getting Harrell is through a sign and trade. And maybe they'll offer like a first round pick, a decent young player, someone that could be in the Clippers rotation. You know, nothing much, but at least you get a little something for him. You're more flexible going forward. And you know, if and then that way you're just I think that's one route the Clippers are going to be very open-minded to.
Anybody outside of front court guys, maybe restricted free agents that you think could make sense in the sign and trade route?
Right. So the restricted free agents is very interesting because last, you know, we hadn't really had a lot of sign and trades until last summer. Last summer there was a lot of sign and trades. A big portion of them were restricted free agents because you have the restricted free agent process where, okay, you're a team, you wanna, let's say you wanna go after Bogdan Bogdanovic this summer. Well, you can offer him an offer sheet, you know, offer him something, try to offer him something that you think the Kings wouldn't match and just hope he doesn't match it. And a lot of the time it's just a waste of time because most of the time the teams do match these contracts. And what we started seeing last summer is teams talking to each other. Malcolm Brogdon's one example where the Pacers called the Bucks and said, "Hey, we want Malcolm Brogdon. We're gonna give him a big offer sheet. Let's let's cut the crap. What can we do to skip the restricted free agency process?" And they made a trade. And so I think a couple guys like Bogdanovic, and if he wanted to leave, maybe like Chris Dunn, his situation seems very in flux. Dario Saric, if the Suns do want to use their cap space, and that would probably mean that a guy like him can't return. These are guys that potentially can be signed and traded. You got a team that just wants to sign him, get out, you know, avoid the restricted free agency process. You don't get a huge haul for these guys in the process. It's just, some draft compensation mostly. But that's something to keep an eye on. I would think that the majority of sign and trades this summer will probably be restricted free agents.
Well, it's interesting. You touched on the Malcolm Brogdon scenario recently. And, when I think of Malcolm Brogdon now, I relate it to Fred VanVleet because that's the type of contract that I think Fred is going to get, if not surpass, in free agency this summer. I touched on it a little earlier. The Suns are a team that has interest in Fred VanVleet, depending on the trade market with Chris Paul. This offseason. But ultimately, I do expect him back in Toronto, as I mentioned, somewhere around a potential like Malcolm Brogdon type of contract. What do you foresee for his free agency?
I think in the end he does go back to Toronto. But let me ask you this. So we were talking about the Suns. They can generate about 20 million cap space and then trade for Chris Paul. Off the top, you would think, okay, well, if they're getting a Chris Paul, then there's no need to sign Fred VanVleet. But then I started thinking, the Suns, they like to have a lot of point guards on the roster. Like, if you look at the roster,
I cut you
what?
off there. I gotta cut you off. I don't think Fred would. I know he's playing with Lowry, but I think there's a thought that maybe he would become the guy at some point because
You wouldn't be excited for a Chris Paul, Van Vliet, Booker, Bridges, Cam, small ball lineup?
I just don't. Oh, I don't think Fred would be down with that, but I like the way your wheel I like the way the wheels are spinning. Don't get me wrong on that.
I wouldn't say it's gonna happen, but at the same time, just knowing the Suns, I wouldn't be shocked.
You know what? Chances are when you think the Suns are gonna do something that you wouldn't think would happen, they do it. So
Yeah.
I get that logic.
But most likely that won't be enough money to get him out of Toronto. I think he does go back to Toronto. You got the Knicks, the Pistons. They're gonna make some big offers for him. And I guess the question is how much is too much for Toronto? I think 20 million is expected. I think Toronto easily matches that. Maybe once you start to get past 25 million, that's when Toronto really starts to get a little sweaty because they're also looking out for next summer. They want to make a run at Giannis. The more they pay Van Vliet, the harder it is to get to that max cap number. They already have a pretty difficult way to get there as it is compared to Miami and Dallas, for example.
Oh yeah,
But
but
ultimately,
you could always trade a guy like a
oh yeah.
Norman Powell down the road. Like my thought process on that has always been, if you can get a guy like Giannis at the table and show him that you have a path to doing it, and he agrees, then you do whatever you got to do. And I think that's all semantics at that point. But while we're talking about other guys that I think could return to their teams in free agency, we touched on Davis Bertans previously, but another guy I look at in the Eastern Conference, Joe Harris. Joe is going to be sought after on the market. I certainly, as I've touched on it before, I expect the Hawks to have significant interest in Joe Harris. And I think that puts him in a great position because he's going to be able to use Atlanta, as a lot of free agents are, and try to leverage them with their current teams. But Brooklyn can't afford to let this guy walk out the door because they don't really have a way to replace him at this point, given their salary cap constraints. I look at him back with the Nets, but do you see any of the other teams? I know I touched on Atlanta, but do you see any of these other teams that realistically could make a run for Joe given their salary cap situations?
Yeah, just like Davis Bertans, I think there's a place on any NBA team for Joe Harris. He's a shooter. Everybody can use a shooter. There's never too many shooters you can have. So you got all the cap space teams: Knicks, Hawks, Pistons, Hornets, Pelicans, all the teams that have cap space, significant cap space. I think they should all make an offer for Harris. I think most of them will make a very big offer for Harris. And ultimately, that's going to drive up the price for him pretty high. You mentioned Atlanta. They've got the most cap space. The Hawks can sign a guy like Harris and still have a lot of cap space left over to sign someone even better than him. So if you're the Nets, I think they're kind of expecting this. I think they know that Harris is going to command a lot of money. I see him making easily between 12 to 16 mil. Maybe he can make even more. And if you're the Nets, I'm not worried about them not paying that. I think they're gonna pay him whatever is needed to re-sign Joe Harris.
I think you just
A
got to
lot
worry
of
about the JJ Redick type of offer like the Philly did for him previously years ago.
you do got to worry about that. If the Nets do need to get that high, then you could make the years a little shorter. But I see a lot of people that are looking at the Nets and thinking, okay, what do the Nets need? They need a four, but I feel like Kevin Durant should be the four there.
I
And that
agree.
would and then you put Joe Harris at the three, and I think he's more than capable worthy to start next in between Dinwiddie or LeVert, whoever starts at the two, and Durant. And then that justifies paying him all this money. He's a starter in this league, and even if the Nets have to pay him 16 mil or more, I think you do it.
Oh yeah, no, I could see that 110%. Any other guys you see that are going to have some decisions for their teams to make that could kind of come down to the wire a little bit with their own teams?
So the Jazz are in this position right now where they're really, I feel like it really hurt them that the salary cap and luxury tax in particular didn't go up at all. And because of that, they're already so close to the tax that they might only have to have the choice of either re-signing Jordan Clarkson or using the full mid-level. And if that's going to be the case, then maybe Clarkson might be available. The Jazz definitely could do some tinkering. Maybe they could convince Conley to opt out and re-sign for much less than the $34 million his player option is for. That would let the Jazz do both things. But if that weren't to happen, I would keep an eye on Jordan Clarkson because I think they really want to bring him back. But I don't know how. I don't know how the new owner feels about getting into the tax in his first year. Well, we'll find out soon enough, but definitely keep an eye on Clarkson.
It's also going to be interesting too. We talked about guys on a potential high number short-term deal. Two guys that I think of with the Miami Heat that stick out, Goran Dragic and Jay Crowder, because they're going to obviously try to. It's obviously, I think, an open secret in the league at this point. Miami is looking to make a run at Giannis if he does not sign an extension with Milwaukee. So we'll see about that, but yeah, I mean, you touched on Conley with the player option. Him and Hayward are in similar situations where both of those guys have high numbers that I wouldn't expect them to opt out of unless they can either re-sign and get a long-term deal where their salaries are at least in a ballpark that it's less for them, but more beneficial for them long term.
Exactly.
I don't know if I see that happening, but you touched on Jeremy Grant too earlier as a guy that can make money. He's got a player option decision. Expect him to opt out. But yeah, I mean there's some other guys out there too. DeRozan's gonna be interesting, and the Lakers have a bunch of guys.
Yeah, so with like I mentioned Conley, or with Hayward too, if they can it doesn't It seems that they would naturally want to opt in, just get the $34 million they're both owed. But if you're Conley, for example, you're 33 years old. Let's say the Jazz offer you a 3, 4, maybe even a 5-year deal.
No, I can't even. My
But if
jaw
you're
just
my,
dropped.
but at, no, but if that's what But that might be what it takes to get Conley to lower that number. Same thing with a guy like Hayward.
Yikes.
Yeah, no, the years is tough, but you know, when you're trying to convince a player, like it happened with Harrison Barnes last year, he didn't need to opt out, but he did. And then the Kings gave him a ridiculous contract. But that's the name of the game when you want to get a, you want to save some money up front. Jeremy Grant, he's I think it's already been reported that he's going to opt out like a month ago. It's a no brainer. I think he's going to get paid like about the same as the Davies Bertans and the Joe Harris's. The Nuggets, they absolutely love him. I think they'll keep him. I really have a hard time seeing him go elsewhere unless, again, I'm one of these other cap space teams. He could fit on them too, all those cap space teams. He's got to fit on theoretically many NBA teams. But ultimately, I think he goes back to Denver where he really, they just had an amazing run. I think they want to continue to build off that. DeRozan, you mentioned DeRozan. It feels like it's not totally working out in San Antonio, and perhaps he wants to move on, but without a real, you know, clear fit on and with any of these cap space teams, I think it's more likely that he'll just opt in, get the final year of his deal, and then just figure it out through a trade later. I don't know who wants it. I really can't think of a team that's gonna trade for him, but there'll be someone most likely. And then the Lakers, they've got a lot of player options. They've got about five, I believe. And it's expected that Anthony Davis, Rondo, and Pope, at least those three, will opt out. And just the main reason for that is that the Lakers hold their bird rights and they can get raises after helping the Lakers win their championship. They got some leverage and they're going to want to exert that and get as much money as they can out of this situation. You also got McGee. I think he opts in. Avery Bradley, I'm not too sure because I'm not sure what else is out there for him. But at the same time, the Lakers can't really give him a raise. So I guess he's going to opt in. And so with Rondo and Davis and Pope, Davis will get his max, but specifically with Pope and Rondo, it'll be interesting to see how negotiations go there. Because the Lakers, they want to use the full mid-level, try to go after a guy like Ibaka, maybe Gallinari's willing to go there for the MLE. They want to use it on another player that can help them continue this title run. But if they're, you know, when you use the mid-level, you're hard capped. And the Lakers, they're going to give AD his max. They're going to try to re-sign all these guys. They still got to take care of Dwight, maybe Markieff Morris. But Rondo and Pope, they could command a lot of money, and that could limit it. That could really determine if they will be able to use that mid-level if they pay these guys a lot. So it'll be interesting to see, especially with Pope. You know, I heard I believe Sham said that Atlanta's interested in Pope. Atlanta's where he's from. You know, with Clutch doing the negotiations, they might. Who knows how high they'll drive the price on Pope. So that will be a very fascinating one to see what happens.
Clutch also reps Trae Young, now worth noting there. And you touched on some of these contract negotiations that could be a little tougher than others. But for some guys, it's not. You look at Giannis Antetokounmpo with the Bucks, and it's very simple. We're going to offer you every dime imaginable, the max that you can get. You literally, it's not even a thought. You slide it across the table. You taking it or you're not. Everybody's going to be waiting to see what Giannis does with that max contract extension that Milwaukee can offer. Literally the second that they can do it, you can bet that that offer is going to be across the table for them. But while we don't know yet what Giannis is going to do, there are some other guys that are eligible for those type of extensions. Another guy that could be a max guy, Jason Tatum in Boston. It'll be interesting to see if they take care of that now or not. But some other guys that it's going to be interesting to see too, Donovan Mitchell, De'Aaron Fox. I don't think Fox is in the same ballpark as a guy like Donovan Mitchell, but It'll be interesting to see if Sacramento views that differently. And even Rudy Gobert, too, with Utah, just some names out there. You know, Donovan, I think it was reported by Yahoo Sports that he would do the extension. But what about for guys like De'Aaron Fox and Rudy Gobert? Are they as likely to take an extension in your mind?
I think so. I think we're actually going to get I have a prediction that we're going to get a record number of extensions this summer. And the main reason for that is the cap, one, it didn't go up. And two, it might not go up very much at all. It might only go up as little as 3% over the next 2 to 3 years. So it's with the salary cap looking like it's going to be relatively frozen over the next 2 to 3 years, it's going to take some time till we get to that period of normalcy where the salary cap will start going up naturally again. And because of that, I think there's going to be a lot of players that are extension eligible looking to get an extension done now and cover the period of, you know, these next 2 to 3 years, and then wait to become a free agency there. Maybe the cap will start to really go up once it's there. One unintended consequence of that is that if that were to happen, I think we could see a huge free agency class. Like if every player is trying to end their contract by, I don't know, let's say it's 2024, 4 years from now, we might have like 75-80% of the league as free agents all at once. So that would be wild. One guy I think is for sure getting an extension. You brought up Jason Tatum. He's extension eligible. I don't think the question is, will he get the max? He's going to get the max, but is he going to get the super max? And I think that's even more likely. If he gets all NBA again, he'll qualify. And depending where the salary cap falls next year, that 5-year deal could be worth about $196 million to $209 million. So Tatum might get the biggest extension this summer if it's not Giannis. Other players with rookie extensions, Donovan Mitchell and De'Aaron Fox, those two guys, I would imagine they're also going to get the max. Not as high as the one Tatum could get, but most likely it'll be the 5-year, could range between 163 to 174 mil. It feels like those guys, they're, in my opinion, not as impactful as Tatum, but there's really, it's one of those no leverage situations for the team.
I think Mitchell is. I just, De'Aaron Fox, I haven't seen enough yet. I mean, it's a different market with Sacramento, and you got to keep your stars. I get that. But Donovan Mitchell has proven that he's a star in this league. But, you know, other guys like, you know, Bam Adebayo is a guy that's eligible for an extension, but they're not going to do it most likely because they're eyeing Giannis next year. And again, you know, I always bring these relationships up because they're important. Bam Adebayo's agent also represents Giannis Antetokounmpo, same agency. They're going to know the inner workings of that behind the scenes. Chances are if Bam Adebayo does not do an extension, there's going to be more smoke that Giannis could be a real fit for Miami, or else Bam would sign the extension and they would get it done. So there's at least the possibility that they really believe they can get him. But there were some stars that you thought could get maybe an extension, and also some younger guys that maybe are a little bit under the radar that could sign extensions that would be beneficial for them.
So the only other guy that can get a supermax like the one Giannis can get is Rudy Gobert. I don't think he'll get the supermax. That it's 5 years, 228 or more than that. It's Gobert's not going to get 35 mil or to 40 mil a year annually, but I think he will sign an extension with the Jazz. I could see him getting something maybe 4 years, 120 million range. In the end, I think they'll work something out. A couple other stars that aren't really talked about that I could see getting extension, Steph Curry. So Curry, he signed his 5-year Supermax 3 years ago, and now he's going to be extension eligible. And he can get a 3-year $155 million extension, which is really big. That would keep him through age 37, adding 3 years onto his remaining two. And the thing is, with this, usually you hear about a player, they want all the players that were entering free agency last summer, all the star players, they entered free agency because they can get more money through the max contract offered by a team through free agency, not an extension. Now, with the salary cap looking like it's not going to go up that much, it's actually going to be in reverse this time for some of these superstar players that are already making 30, 40 million plus. And with Steph Curry, that's the case, where if he were to hit free agency, he's not going to make nearly as much as his maximum possible extension. Now, I'm not necessarily saying Curry's going to get the full 3 years. He's going to and make 50 mil a year through 35 to 37. I'm not saying that, but he can get much more than whatever the maximum might be by the time he hits free agency. And a couple other guys that are kind of fall into this situation like Curry that are extension eligible includes LeBron, Harden, and Paul George. All those guys, I think they're gonna be able to make more money. They will be able to make more money through their extensions. If so, it's one of those situations where, like, look, this is the way to make more money. It's probably not gonna be through being a free agent. Might as well extend now and just lock in the money while you can. And then a couple other players I wanted to talk about, some pretty under the radar guys. You got the players that were just finished their second year and were on minimum contract. So former second round picks, Devontae Graham, Gary Trent. There's a couple other players that fall into this category. I believe Mitchell Robinson. So players like them, they can get a 4-year, $51 million extension. Very team friendly deals. And if you're a player like one of them where you were making the minimum contract these past 2 seasons and you're gonna have another year making the minimum, that seems like that's a huge payday for these guys. I could see at least a couple of them doing these types of extensions this summer.
Certainly makes sense. Show me the money, just like they say in a movie.
Right.
But I would say this for them, it makes a lot of sense being second round picks. Anytime you can lock up money, you got to give it a shot. But it's just like Jerry Maguire, show me the money.
Show me the money.
Oh man, Yossi, we're certainly gonna see that phrase, show me the money, thrown around a lot this summer. Geez, this summer.
Yeah.
Well, I wish. The off season is not the summer. It
Yeah.
is
Oh,
gonna
yeah.
it's gonna be in the winter.
I have to condition myself to not say summer when I'm talking about now. It's just off season, or free agency.
it's such a quick turnaround. I don't even call it an off season. I'm calling it the transition period. Well, Yossi, we certainly touched on pretty much every scenario that we could think of when it comes to the offseason, whether it's trades, signing trades, just free agency movement, extensions, everything. We threw it in a pot and we stirred it up. Always enjoy catching up with you on those topics. To everybody listening, thanks for tuning in as always. And if you want to hear more episodes of the Hoops High podcast with players, coaches, and media personalities, make sure that you like and subscribe to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. You can follow Yossi on Twitter at YogiMane, YoggiMane. Yossi is going to have an extension piece coming out soon with a database of all the guys that are eligible and some things to keep an eye out there on Hoops Hype. And also make sure that you are following him on Twitter, as I touched on. He's going to be giving you real-time salary cap reactions to the deals that come up this offseason and updated salary cap situations for the teams once they make their moves. And you can keep up with my tweets on Twitter at Mike A. Scotto, MikeAScotto. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Scotto, wishing you and yours all the best.